Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject, getting our priorities right. You'll find the text there in the 6th chapter of Matthew's Gospel in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are our priorities in life? What is the first? Or who is the first in our lives? It is so easy to have our priorities all wrong. And as a result, we can suffer greatly as far as our Christian lives are concerned. For many in this world, the priority is the business sector. It is the well-being of the business, its increase, and all of that is first and foremost in their lives. Money and money-making is what they are taken up with. For others, the priority is the entertainment of this world. And their primary objective is to enjoy themselves in pleasure-seeking. We live in an age when partying is the in thing, and eating and drinking, and of course marrying and giving in marriage. Socializing in the world is the focus of the attention of the masses of mankind today. For others, it is to climb the ladder as far as position is concerned. And they want to be at the top. They want to rise to the highest point, no matter what way they get there, so long as they get there in the end. And so time and effort and enthusiasm is put into getting position in this world. In the context before us here, in Matthew's Gospel and in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord gave clear teaching here about what our priorities ought to be. And in doing so, he laid great emphasis on what they ought not to be. For example, verse 25, not in eating and drinking or clothing. He also gave reasons why we should not be given to anxious care about these things. Take no anxious thought, the meaning is here, about these things. Because the Lord will provide all these things for us. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. The Lord is not teaching here that we should neglect to attend to these things, the essential things of life, of course not. But that they are not to be our main priorities. He lays emphasis upon what we must make our priority. And if we do this, then we will get our priorities right. We will follow a right path in life, and the other things we need will be added. And this is most practical teaching this morning, men and women, for each one of us. If we follow this teaching, then we will know the blessing of God upon us spiritually and also temporally, all the days of our lives. Getting our priorities right, and that is the theme that I want to take up for a short time this morning. First of all, the precept that is given. If you look at our text here, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything rises and falls right here. If your priorities are not in order, your life will not be in order. If your priorities are not right, you won't be right. You don't have to pray about what your number one priority in life ought to be. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to discuss it. You don't have to look for it. You just have to do it. The Lord Jesus Christ has told us what our first priorities ought to be. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And this word seek here means to actively pursue or to go after.
It's in the present tense. It means continuously, every day of your life. You ought to seek first the kingdom of God. And in order to seek the kingdom, you must first seek the King. The person we must seek is the Lord Himself. You cannot have a kingdom without a King. And the first priority in all of our lives today ought to be to seek the King of the kingdom. You see, the Christian life, dear friends, is more than just accepting the Lord. It is seeking the Lord. The Lord is not just someone you passively accept. He is someone you actively seek. I can tell you something about your relationship to God without ever knowing you. I can tell you how much of God you have. You have all of God that you want. God does not have any favorites, but He does have intimates. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." God has promised in His Word, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And so the first priority is to seek the Lord, the person we must seek. And then there must be, secondly, the priority in our seeking. Seek Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God. First things first means putting the Father first. If you look through this passage of God's Word that we have read in Matthew 6 this morning, underline three words here in this passage in verse 30. You underline the word faith. And then when you come to verse 32, you underline the word Father. When you come to verse 33, which is our text, you underline the word first. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Do you know what faith is? It is putting the Father first. Let me tell you something this morning. Jesus does not want a place in your life. He doesn't want even the prominence in your life. He wants the preeminence in your life. Has He got that this morning in your life? Jesus doesn't want just a mere place. He wants the main place. He wants the first place. Jesus wants the first moments of every day. He wants the first day of every week. He wants the first part of every paycheck. He wants to be first in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ is not wanting merely to be the first runner in your beauty contest. He's not merely interested in being second in command in your army or vice president of your business. He wants to be king upon the throne of your heart. The hymn writer put it like this: King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. The person we must seek. The priority in our seeking. But then notice the position we ought to give Him. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. The word kingdom here literally means to rule or reign. A kingdom is a place where the king rules. To seek the kingdom of God is to seek the rule and reign of God in your entire life. Is the Lord ruling and reigning over your life this morning, dear person? Gathered here under the sound of God's Word. When you truly seek a king, and you truly seek His kingdom, you are automatically seeking for three things. First of all, you're seeking the glory of the King. The glory of the King. Every part and parcel of your life. Every minute and moment of your life. Every ounce and pound of your strength. Every muscle and fiber of your body ought to be given to the glory of God. Paul said this, and listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God, seeking the glory of the King. Is that what you're doing this morning? And then seek the guidance of the King. That's the second thing. A loyal subject always wants to do whatever the King would have him to do. And there's no higher calling in life than to find out what your King wants done and then to do it. And every morning of your life you ought to begin by asking the Lord, as Saul did on the Damascus road, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Seeking the glory of the King. Seeking the guidance of the King. And then seeking the government of the King. Be controlled by the King. Governed and ruled by Him. You know, there's so many people today, they want to do their own thing. They want to go off in tangents. Someone may say, well, if you're talking about being governed and ruled, you're talking about slavery. May I tell you this? That the greatest liberty in the world is found by being controlled by the right master. If we're controlled by the right master, that is true liberty. A woman was very ill. Her neighbor came to visit her and asked her whether she wanted to live or die. She said, I just want whatever God pleases. The neighbor said, well, if God were to refer the matter to you, which would you choose? She said, if God were to refer the matter to me, I would just refer the matter back to Him. You see, she had her priorities in the right order. She was governed by the King. Are you governed by the King? Seeking His rule in your heart? Whatever is His will for you, as far as your life is concerned, as far as your service for God is concerned, as far as the work of God is concerned, it's the will of God. The person is the Lord Himself. And then I want you to think not only about the precept that is given here, but I want you to think about the pathway we must go. Because it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's the pathway of purity. We are to seek His righteousness. We're not only to be seeking God's control over us, but we are also to be seeking God's character within us, His righteousness. You see, my friend, the kingdom of God is not merely to be inwardly experienced, but it is to be outwardly expressed. If God is ruling over you, His righteousness will be within you. And because a man's character is simply the outward expression of whatever is controlling him inwardly, faith is always seen by its fruit. Character is always seen by its conduct. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12, it speaks there of the hearing ear and the seeing eye. The Lord hath made even both of them. You see, as we seek the kingdom of God, people ought to be able to see the kingdom of God in us. We're never going to make a difference in this world until the world sees a difference in us. Is the world seeing a difference in you, in the way you live, the way you conduct your life, your manner of life, your character? It was said of the German philosopher who was the founder of the Nazi movement, the philosophical founder, I should say, of the Nazi movement in Germany. He was the first man in history to come to the conclusion that God is dead. And he came to that conclusion by looking at Christianity. Do you know what he said about Christians? He said, if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a little more redeemed. You see, this man was looking at Christians. And my friend, the only Bible that some people read is your life and your conduct. And what sort of conduct do you have before the world? The real mark of a Christian is that he makes it easier for others to believe in God because they see that in his life. See the difference? What does it mean to seek the righteousness of God? First of all, long for it. Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There must be a longing in your heart to be right and to do right and to live right. Just as much as a hungry person desires food or a thirsty person desires water, long for righteousness. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Is that what you're doing this morning? Then secondly, lay hold upon it. Get righteousness. Seek his righteousness. God is not interested in your righteousness because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and maybe you're here today and you're trusting in your own righteousness. It's self-righteousness. The Bible says you are all as an unclean thing and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God is only interested in his righteousness. God is not interested in what we can do for him. He's interested in what he can do through us. And how vital it is to learn the difference between self-righteousness and his righteousness. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul spoke about this, and he said in Philippians chapter 3 and 9, if you check it, be found in him that is in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is in the law of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And understand today, dear friend, that righteousness must be imputed before it can be imparted. Before you can live it out in your life, God must give it to you. You must lay hold of it by faith. Have you laid hold of this righteousness by faith? Are you saved this morning? Have you upon you the garment of God's salvation? Are you clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not, thank God, even today in this very service, you can be so clothed. You can be saved. You can go from this service today a saved person, clothed in his righteousness, found in Christ, having the righteousness which is of God by faith. And thank God, that's exactly why Christ died on the cross, that we might know the righteousness of God. Paul put it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He said, for he hath made him, that is Christ, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank God we can lay hold upon it. And we can long for it. And then we must live it out. Having received it, we must live it out in our lives from day to day. We must live like kingdom subjects. Someone has said we ought to live in such a way that we should not be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip. Think about it. We should live in such a way as we're not ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip. In other words, we should live the Christian life in a godly way, in a holy way. May God help us to do that. And then there's the promise we have gained. It says here in our text this morning, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord says, if we get our priorities right, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you.
What things was the Lord referring to? He's talking about all the things that people worry about.
People worry about their finances. And it's understandable at times, of course, but we're not to worry about our finances. Verse 19 tells us, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But people worry about food. Don't think there's any of us here worrying about food this morning. But maybe there is. Therefore, verse 25, take no anxious thought, it means. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. People worry about fashion. Oh, you ladies, you worry about the fashion, don't you? Us men, we've been standing outside the shops for so long, or maybe seeking out the coffee shop while you look after the fashion. But nevertheless, verse 28 says, take ye no anxious thought for raiment. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. All of these things we need. But the Lord has said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Verse 32, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. Now the Lord has promised that if we seek first His kingdom, if we seek first His righteousness, you'll have all the things that you need. He doesn't say you'll have all the things you want. You know, I'm convinced there are four lessons parents ought to teach their children early. And it would be good for us adults to perhaps relearn them today. First of all, you don't need everything you want. Secondly, you don't want everything you need. Go to your houses perhaps and you've got that much stuff that you have ever had to move, you're going to get rid of it. So certainly, you don't want everything you need. God doesn't give us everything we want. I'm very glad He doesn't. I can think of things that I wanted, but God didn't give them to me. And one of the greatest blessings of God is found in those things He doesn't give to us. The Confederate soldier, the unknown Confederate soldier, he said this, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked God for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. See, God doesn't give us everything we want. He gives us what we need. God always gives us what we need. I heard about two stores that were across the street, one from each other. They were very competitive, of course, in trying to get ahead commercially. The manager of one store, he came out one day and nailed a great big sign over the front of his store that said, if you want it, we have it. Probably you've seen it before, that sort of thing. And the manager from the other store, he came out and he walked up and down, looked at this sign, and he thought about it for a few moments. He went back into his store, and sometime later he came out with this big sign. He nailed it to the front of his store, if we don't have it, you don't need it. I tell you something right now, no matter what you may think, if you don't have it, it's because God knows at this point in your life, you don't need it. You don't need it. You see, what the Lord is trying to teach us here is this. It is our job to serve God. It is God's job to supply us. Now, most people have this back to front. Most people think it's our job to supply us and it's God's job to serve us. No, that's all the wrong way around. If they could sing that old hymn we sung this morning, they would sing it this way. I'll have my own way, Lord, I'll have my own way. I'll be the potter, you be the clay. I'll mold you and make you after my will. While you're waiting, yield it and still. But get it all our way, wouldn't we?
It's greatly that attitude, it's exactly that attitude that cuts us off from the blessing of God. You see, my friend, in a very real sense, we've been called to live from hand to mouth. But, my friend, understand, it's always God's hand to my mouth. You know, there's a story of a missionary, a true story of a missionary. He was heading off the field of service. He was getting on the ship, and he was going up the gangway, and a friend of him, a very wealthy person, he came to him and slipped him a sealed envelope into his hand. He said this to the missionary. He said, "You take this envelope, and if at any time while you're overseas you come to the place where you've exhausted every other possibility, you don't know where else to turn, you have a need you cannot meet anywhere else, open the envelope." The missionary took the envelope and put it into his pocket, went on board the ship and stayed on the mission field for 20 years. At the end of 20 years, he came back, he walked down that gangplank again, and he met that wealthy friend. He was there. He returned the envelope, still sealed, unopened. He said, "Never did I come to a place where I did not know where to turn or what to do." Why? Because he got his priorities right. You see, he was seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things had been added unto. Do you want to make the rest of your life today, whatever it is, whatever time God has allotted to you, do you want to make it the best of your life? Get your priorities right. Put the Lord Jesus Christ first. Let every moment be lived for him, and he will take care of the rest. May the Lord help us to do that. And if you're not saved this morning, let me introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only Savior. He's the only one that can meet the need of your heart. And that need is God's salvation. May you experience that so great salvation even this morning. Let us pray. Father, indelibly write upon the fleshy tables of every heart the holy truth of thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.